नमों विष्णुपदाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामी इति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यादिशतारी ओं नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय श्रीमद् भागवतम 10th कैंटो चैप्टर 2 टेक्स्ट 30 और Text 29. This chapter is entitled as Prayers by the Demigods. Bibharshi Rupani Abobodha Atma Kshemaya Lokasya Characharasya सत्तोपपन्नानि सुखावहानि सताम् अभद्राणि मुहुं खलानाम् बिभर्षिरूपान्नवबोधयात्मा क्षेमाय लोकस्य चराचरस्य सत्तोपपन्नानि सुखावहानि सतामभद्राणि मुहुखलानाम् बिभर्षि रूपान्या बुबोधयात्मा क्षेमाय लोकस्य चराचरस्य सत्योपपन्नानि सुखावहानि सतामभद्राणि मुहुखलानाम् बिभर्षि रूपान्या बुबोधयात्मा क्षेमाय लोकस्य चराचरस्य सत्तोपपन्यानि सुखावहानि सतामभद्राणि मुहुखलानाम् Abhadrani, all inauspicious or annihilation. Muhu, again and again. Khalanam, of the non-devotees. Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. O Lord, You are always in full knowledge, and to bring all good fortune to all living entities, You appear in different incarnations, all of them transcendental to the material creation. When You appear in these incarnations, You are pleasing to the pious and religious devotees. But for non-devotees, You are the annihilator. Please repeat after me. O Lord,
O Lord,
You are always in full knowledge.
You are always in full knowledge.
and to bring all good fortune
to all living
entities, you appear in different incarnations,
all of them transcendental
to the material creation.
When you appear in these incarnations,
you are pleasing to the pious
and religious devotees.
But for non-devotees,
you are the annihilator.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada. This verse explains why the Supreme Personality of Godhead appears as an incarnation again and again. The incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead all function. The incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead all function differently, but their main purpose is paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha duskritam, to protect the devotees and to annihilate the miscreants. Yet, even though the duskritis or miscreants are annihilated, this is ultimately good for them.
Bibharshi rupan avabodhay atma kshemaya lokasya characharasya sattopapannani sukhavahani satam abhadrani muhukhalanam.
O Lord, you are always in full knowledge and to bring all good fortune to all living entities. You appear in different incarnations, all of them transcendental to the material creation. When you appear in these incarnations, you are pleasing to the pious and religious devotees, but for non-devotees, you are the annihilator. You can lift it up because I'll be looking up now. I was looking at the book all this while. Hare Krishna. So, 10th canto, 2nd chapter is describing the prayers by the demigods. Krishna appeared in the womb of Mother Devaki. Devaki and Vasudev were imprisoned by Kamsa. Kamsa became aware that Devaki's 8th child is going to kill him. So when it came to the, this is the 8th child of Devaki who is about to take birth. And Kamsa is very, very worried. So Kamsa is the personification of a gross materialist, a demon. All he knows is matter and doesn't have any consideration about the spirit soul and the spiritual development. And as a result of that, he doesn't accept the Supreme Spiritual Personality, Krishna. That is the problem with materialistic people. Because they are completely absorbed in their sense perceptions, they cannot go beyond their senses. Therefore, they cannot accept that there is another reality beyond our sense perception.
Jai Shri Shri Giridhari Gopal ki jai. Jai Shri Shri Gaur Nitai ki jai. Jai Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai.
And because they cannot conceive of anything beyond this material perception, material existence, they think that this material, this life in this material nature is everything. And they want to enjoy this material nature to the fullest extent. And ultimately they want to become immortal so that they can continue to enjoy here forever. But when one becomes exposed to the spiritual understanding, spiritual knowledge, then the first thing he understands is that this body is made of matter. Matter is dead. Therefore, the body is dead. Isn't it a natural conclusion? A is equal to B and B is equal to C. Therefore, A is equal to C. Matter is dead. The body is made of matter. Therefore, this body is a dead body. Body made of dead matter is a dead body. But is it a dead body? No, it's a living body. Why this dead? How come this dead body became alive? Because of the presence of the soul. So that is the first realization, the first preliminary understanding. In Bhagavad Gita, what did Krishna tell Arjuna? What was the first instruction that Krishna gave to Arjuna? Your spirit soul. He pointed out that that your identity is not only limited to this body. The first instruction was that Arjuna, all the kings that have assembled here, and you and I, there was never a time we didn't exist, and there will never be a time that we will not exist. That means we are eternal. Now, what is eternal? Is the body eternal? No. That's for that point he actually made next. The body is changeable. You are thinking to make this body permanent, but to begin with, the body is changeable. Which body you want to make permanent? It is changing at every moment. In this body, new cells are being generated and old cells are being destroyed continuously. So the body is constantly changing. Now, in spite of the changing of the body, you remain the same. You, when you are 5, when you are 15, and you that you are today, is a different you or the same you? 5-year-old you is the same you? 15-year-old you, same? And today's you is same as 5-year-old, 15-year-old, 25-year-old you? So who is you? Your 5-year body is different, your 15-year body had been different, and in this way the body has been constantly changing, but you are the same. So that cannot be, you cannot be the body, because the body is changing. But in spite of the change of the body, you are the same. You are not affected by the change of the body. Therefore Krishna is drawing the conclusion. When the time will come when you will leave the body altogether, still you will continue to exist, because you are not this body. And you will get into another body. Dehantara prapti. So, the soul is constantly transmigrating from one body to another. For the time being, it remains in one body, and that body constantly changes. And then, at some point, he completely rejects that body and leaves the body and goes into another body. So, isn't that the first instruction that Krishna gave to Arjuna or to us? So what we have to understand first, we are not this body, we are spirit souls. It's the spirit soul that makes the body alive. It's the spirit soul that makes this body conscious. Consciousness comes not from the body, not from the senses, not from the brain, not from the mind. Consciousness comes from the soul. I am because I am conscious. So where does this consciousness come from? From the soul. I am that soul. So that is the preliminary understanding. Now, that is the difference between a materialistic person and a devotee. A materialistic person thinks that the body is everything. And when the body will perish, he'll be finished. Therefore, he doesn't want to die. So that was the situation with Kamsa. When he heard that his sister's son is going to kill him, He became extremely perturbed. And he became so vengeful that he wanted to kill his own sister. On the very day that she got married and she was just going to her husband's house. And Kamsa very affectionately was driving the chariot as an expression of his love for his sister. So this is again another characteristic of a materialistic person. He is simply concerned about his own benefit. He doesn't care about others' feelings, and no matter how affectionate he may be to that person, but if that person becomes an impediment to his sense gratification, he doesn't mind eliminating that person. So this way we can see how materialistic people think and how they behave. Materialistic people, just general characteristic is that they are extremely selfish. In Bhagavad Gita, it has been described the demoniac nature. What is the demoniac nature? They are simply concerned about their own benefit, own enjoyment, own sense gratification. And they are always concerned about how they are going to get rid of anybody who comes on his way to his sense gratification. Kamsa is a classic example of that. And Kamsa, and they calculate everything from the materialistic point of view. He thought that if I can somehow or other prevent the birth of the eighth child, then I'll be safe. Because the eighth child is going to kill me, so if I can somehow prevent the birth of that child, then I'll be safe. And he took extreme precaution for that. The first thing he considered that let me prevent them from conceiving the child. In the prison, they were actually separated. They were not together. They were shackled, chained. In one corner of the large cell, in one corner Vasudeva was tied up, and the other corner Devaki was tied up. So he thought if they couldn't come together, then they won't be able to conceive the child. But a demon may think in a certain way, but Krishna has his way of doing things. One of the characteristics of Krishna is he can make impossible possible. And how did he make it impossible, that impossible possible? Krishna was conceived from the heart of Vasudeva to the heart of Devaki. It was not, conception didn't take place through some physical contact, but it was a spiritual transmission. Besides that, Krishna doesn't even need to take birth. Many times Krishna appeared in the most amazing way. As Varaha Dev, he just appeared from the nostril of Brahma. As Meena, he just appeared from nowhere. Just a small little fish. And that small little fish started to grow. And first it was on the hand. And it grew, then he had to place him into a bigger place. And he grew and grew and grew. Ultimately he had to take him to the ocean. And then he actually performed his wonderful pastimes of saving the Vedas at the time of annihilation. And Krishna appeared as Nrisimhadev from the pillar. Hiranyakashipu made a challenge. Where is your Krishna? Where is your Hari? To Prahlad. Prahlad said, he's everywhere. Everywhere? Is he in this pillar? He said, yes, he's in the pillar also. And completely enraged, Hiranyakashipu just went and with his fist he struck the pillar. And the stone pillar crumbled. And from that came out this very wonderful form. The Lord in a very wonderful form. He was half lion, half man. So Krishna can come in any way he wants. But of all of Krishna's pastimes, the most wonderful pastimes is his human-like pastimes. Krishnero jateko khela, tar modhe narolila, narobopu, taharo sharup. Of all the pastimes of Krishna, his pastimes like that of human beings are the most wonderful. Because his human-like form is his swarup. In his actual identity as his original supreme identity, the supreme personality of Godhead looks like a human being. But it's not that because he looks like a human being, he is a human being. Many people think that because he looks like a human being, he is a human being. They think that because he has two arms, I have two arms, he has one head, I have one head, and he has two legs and one belly, same as me. Therefore, he is equal to me, or I am equal to him, or I am greater than him. If Krishna can become God, I can become God. Because what Krishna looks like, I look the same. Maybe I look more handsome. So these are the demoniac understanding. The reality actually is, very mercifully, the Lord has created man according to his own image. That's a very relevant statement from Bible. Man has been created according to the image of God. There also it actually indicates that God's form is two-armed. Man has been created according to the image of God. So God is, he looks like a human being. So now that he looks like a human being, he has to act like a human being. So when he comes to the earth planet in order to perform his Naralila, a human-like pastimes, he takes birth just like a human being. But although he takes birth like a human being, his birth is transcendental, divine. His birth is not like our birth. His birth is rather unusual. Like he takes birth, but he doesn't need to take birth. Therefore in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying that those who understand that my birth and my activities are divine, they become free from the cycle of birth and death. That is a wonderful aspect of Krishna's birth. If we can understand that Krishna's birth is divine, divyam, then we will become free from the cycle of birth and death. Krishna takes birth like an ordinary human being. But if we understand that birth of Krishna is divine, is non-material, is unnatural, then we become free from the cycle of birth and death ourselves. So that is a wonderful aspect of Krishna's pastimes. So here Krishna is about to take birth because he has to come and perform his pastimes in Dwapara Yuga, and he has to take birth. So Kamsa made arrangement. We can also see how painful it is. Krishna actually acts in such a wonderful way in order to churn the emotions of his devotees. The devotee's business is to develop his love for Krishna. And Krishna allows that love to become more and more intensified. Krishna acts in such a way that this love becomes more intensified. What actually causes the love to become intensified? One is when we see the object of our love is in difficulty and distress, then the love becomes intensified. When we see that the object of our love is acting in a heroic way, our love becomes intensified. When we see that the object of love is displaying so many wonderful qualities, then our love becomes intensified. So in this way, through his pastimes, displaying his pastimes, Krishna allows his devotees to intensify their love for him. Or naturally, their love for him becomes intensified. Now how painful it is to see Krishna taking birth in prison when an ordinary, in our day-to-day life we see when a woman becomes pregnant, everybody becomes so attentive towards her and takes care of her comfort. They go out of their way to make her comfortable. Then when the time comes, she is given the best facility, taken to the best nursing home, given to the best facility for the childbirth. That's a natural thing. But Krishna, when Devaki became pregnant, she is in prison, in such a difficult condition, not only shackled, there was a stone placed on her chest so that she couldn't move. And then when Krishna was about to appear, there was nobody to attend her. She was so in such a difficult situation. But Krishna makes Krishna makes this kind of pastimes to happen just to increase our love for him and attachment to him. The devotees may apparently be in a difficult situation, but the devotees do not really feel the pain at all. The devotees that Krishna uses, like Devaki and Vasudev, are in the distressful situation, but by Krishna's divine arrangement, they are not affected by that. And then when Krishna is in the womb of the mother, the demigods came to offer prayers to him. And this prayer, they are saying that you come to punish the miscreants and to favor, to bestow your favor upon your devotees. You not only protect the devotees, you inundate your devotees with all the affection of your heart. And in this way you appear on this planet just to enable the devotees to have the opportunity to associate with you. And whatever Krishna does is simply to enable his devotees to associate with him. Krishna is born, Vasudev took him to Braj, Vrindavan, in the house of Nanda Maharaj. Why? Because all the devotees are there in Braj, waiting to have their loving exchange with Krishna. And actually, another Krishna was born already in Braj, the son of Nanda Maharaj and Jasodamai. One Krishna is born as the son of Devaki and Vasudev, and the other son is born as Jasoda and Nanda. She also gave birth to a daughter. When Vasudev took Krishna to the house of Nanda Maharaj, Vasudev did not see
the son. She just saw the daughter. And as she placed Krishna there, his son Krishna, that Vasudev Krishna merged in Nanda Nandan Krishna. And Nanda Maharaj, Vasudev picked up that son, that daughter, and came back to the prison. And then Krishna performed his wonderful pastimes in Vrindavan for 15, 16 years. Then he came to Mathura to kill Kamsa. Did the son of Nanda Maharaj Krishna come to kill Kamsa? No. This killing demons is not his business. Killing the demons is, even in Vrindavan, the demons that he was killing, he was not killing them. It is the Vishnu in Krishna, who his business is to kill the demons. So he was killing, Vishnu was killing the demons. Krishna is Lila Purushottam. All he knows is to have fun. He doesn't get involved in all these ghastly activities of killing the demons and all. So, the son of Nanda Maharaj Krishna, Nanda Nandan, he never leaves Vrindavan. He doesn't even take a step outside of Vrindavan. Vrindavanam parityajya kutra kadapi na gacchati. He never goes anywhere taking even a step out of Vrindavan. What actually happened? When Akrura came to take Krishna, when he came to the border of Mathura and Vrindavan, there Krishna and Balaram went to take bath. And when they were taking bath, Akrura saw Krishna in his forearm form. So at that time, this four-armed Krishna, that is Vasudev Krishna, came and sat on the chariot, and Nanda Nandan Krishna went back to Vrindavan. Now, question may arise then, how come Krishna was missing from Vrindavan for so many years? No, Krishna was very much in Vrindavan. The residents of Vrindavan were having dealings with Krishna. But due to Jogamaya's arrangement, when they were having direct dealings with Krishna, they were thinking that they were dreaming. And that's why they couldn't really quite understand or make out that Krishna was still in Vrindavan. They thought Krishna had left Vrindavan. That's what was playing at the back of their mind. Krishna left Vrindavan, Krishna went to Mathura, and in this way, they were submerged in an ocean of sorrow. But not that they were always submerged in an ocean of sorrow. They were having their exchange with Krishna. But at that time, when they were having the exchange with Krishna, they thought that they were dreaming. When they saw Krishna, they were thinking that they are dreaming. And in their dream also, they were having their encounter with Krishna. So they were not actually separated from Krishna, but there was this feeling of separation in order to churn out the mood of Vipralambha, the mood of separation. Because separation makes the union more relishable. And then this Vasudev Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj, son of Vasudev and Devaki, went back to Mathura, killed Kamsa, then became the went to Sandipani Muni's ashram to study there for 64 days, and then came back, fought against Shishupal, Dantavakra, Jarasandha, and all that, and then they transferred his capital from Mathura to Dwarka. But at the same time, this Vasudev Krishna was constantly yearning to go to Vrindavan. How can I go to Vrindavan? He was always in an intense... He was in a mood of separation from the residents of Vrindavan.
And then finally he got an opportunity to meet with the devotees of Vrindavan during the time of the solar eclipse, which actually led to the festival of Ratha Jatra, where the gopis kidnapped Krishna. And Krishna was happy that, oh, now I am finally getting a chance to go to Vrindavan. And that is Lord Jagannath. Krishna from Dwarka is now going to Vrindavan. Krishna from Dwarka is hankering to have the association of the devotees of Vrindavan. So it is not that the devotees hanker for the association of Krishna. Krishna's yearning to be with the devotees is even more intense than the devotees' desire. So this is how Krishna has his loving exchange with his devotees. He's always concerned about how to have the association of devotees, how to please his devotees, how to bring joy to the hearts of the devotees. So Krishna is constantly hankering for that. We think that we must love Krishna, but we can't even imagine how much Krishna already loves us. That's why to develop a love affair with Krishna, develop a loving relationship with Krishna cannot possibly be difficult. When somebody already loves somebody, will it be difficult to fall in love with him? He's already in love. Rather, our situation is Krishna is in love with us, but we are not. We don't love him. Just consider a situation: the one loves the other, but the other doesn't respond. Let's consider a typical mundane situation: a boy is in love with a girl, but the girl doesn't reciprocate. How does the boy feel? He feels terrible. He feels miserable. He just waits when the girl is going to respond to his love. And he feels that his love, his life will become successful, will achieve his ultimate success if the girl responds his love. Then one day the girl responds. What is the response? The response is, I love you too. And how does the boy feel? He starts to dance in ecstasy. He thinks that he has conquered the entire universe. Now here, Krishna is that lovelorn boy, and we are those young girls who are not responding to his love. Now if one day, someday, if we just say, Krishna, I love you, and how to express our love to Krishna? We have to express our love. We must write our love letter or express our love in a very special language. And that language is Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. When you do that, this actually indicates a very simple expression: Krishna, I love you. Can you imagine how Krishna feels at that time? Therefore, to fall in love with Krishna is not difficult. But it is just we are not aware that this possibility is there, and how wonderful it will be when this love affair becomes a reality. So that is how Krishna is. He is prepared to do anything for his devotees who love him. He has already done so much for us. Just consider all the arrangements that he has made for us. Doesn't that indicate that how much he loves us? All the arrangements for food. Who made these arrangements for us? Who made this arrangement?
Krishna. Why? Because he loves us. Just consider the water supply arrangement. The water is evaporated from the ocean, which is actually useless water, salty water. We can't drink that. We can't use that water for anything. We can't use that water for cultivation. We can't use that water for anything. So that water is distilled and then transferred to different corners in the form of cloud. Transported to different corners or throughout the surface of the planet. And then after the transportation took place in the form of cloud, then they're condensed. They come down in the form of rain. So all the water supply has been made possible in this way. Who made it possible? Krishna. Why? Can anybody have any doubt about that? Why Krishna is taking so much trouble to make all these arrangements? We are breathing oxygen, giving out carbon dioxide. Now, if the process continued, the whole atmosphere would have been filled with carbon dioxide. Did it ever happen? Why not? Because the trees and plants are taking the carbon dioxide and giving back oxygen for us. Who made this arrangement? Accident? Krishna made the arrangement. Why? Because he loves us. So who can doubt that Krishna loves us? At every moment we can consider so many different wonderful arrangements that Krishna made. Simply because of his love for us. If he didn't love, then why would he care for us? Why should he make all these extensive arrangements? Consider another thing. What's the shape of the earth like? It's round. Where are we situated? On the surface of the earth. And the earth is moving with a tremendous speed. What would have happened to us in normal condition? We'd have been thrown out. Did it ever happen? Why not? Because Krishna had made that arrangement of gravity. Why? Because he loves us. Now another case scenario is, the earth is moving at a tremendous speed and we are situated on the surface of the earth. If the earth stopped to move for a moment, what would have happened? I mean, Earth is moving at a speed of more than 1,000 kilometers. If it stopped for a moment, then what would have happened? The entire creation on the surface of the Earth would have collapsed. Did it ever happen? Has there been a single instance when such an accident took place? So this is how Krishna is taking care of us. We are so concerned about our safety, right? But did you ever consider this possibility of danger? And who could actually save us from this dangerous situation? Krishna has taken all these arrangements, made all these arrangements. So who can ever doubt that Krishna loves us? So he loves us. So when Krishna loves us, will it be difficult to fall in love with Krishna? He loves us, therefore he is waiting for us to reciprocate. That's why Krishna is just. So Krishna is waiting for us to reciprocate. And that's why he becomes so happy when we respond to his love and express our love for him in return. And Srila Prabhupada so wonderfully made this understanding clear to us and made this wonderful possibility a reality for us through his books, through his all divine arrangements. Srila Prabhupada is enabling us to develop our loving relationship with Krishna. And when we develop that love for Krishna, or when we reciprocate Krishna's love for us, then our lives become successful. Our lives achieve its ultimate perfection. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande Hari Hari. Does anybody have any question? Or comment? Yes?
You were saying earlier that when we understand that Krishna's birth is not an ordinary birth, having that knowledge frees us from having to take birth. Can you make the logical connection?
Logical connection. Okay. I can try. You see, to understand that Krishna's birth is divine, which actually means that we understand that Krishna doesn't need to take birth. We understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is not subjected to the laws of this nature. We are, but he is not. Because he is not the lawmaker. So lawmaker is not subject, is liable to follow the laws. But sometimes he may abide by the law. Now, because he is abiding by the law doesn't mean that he is not the lawmaker. So he is abiding by the law, but at the same time, to have the understanding that he is the lawmaker, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is not subjected to the laws of karmic reaction, then we become free from karmic reaction. You get the point? Okay, now let me make another step in between. We recognize that Krishna is God. When you recognize that Krishna is God, then what should you do? Very good. Yeah. Worship him. That means when you recognize that Krishna is God, then you surrender unto him. Right? So when you surrender unto him, then what happens? You know that. When you surrender unto Krishna, then you become free from karmic reactions. Right? No more karma. Right? You are free from karmic reactions. So when you don't have any karmic reaction, you don't have to take birth again. You'll go back to the spiritual sky. Sounds logical?
Yeah, that worship with the missing piece.
Yes. Thank you. Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande Hare. Srila Prabhupada.